Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Miketz and Hanukkah. Please consider a donation to Pardes in honor of the podcast. Your donation will assist Pardes in its mission of Jewish education, and your donation of any amount is very much appreciated. Our computers are standing by, so you can donate online at any time via donate.pardesusa.org. Thank you very much. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson-Mizells discusses Miketz and Hanukkah. Rabbi James Jacobson-Mizells is a faculty member at Pardes. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson-Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Today we'll be looking at a drasha on Parsha Miketz and on Hanukkah from the work Derech HaMelech, a work written by the Pizetzner Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh, before the war. And this particular Parsha is from 1930, written in Poland in 1930. It's a long drasha, so we're just going to look at a certain section of it, which addresses this issue both of Miketz and of Hanukkah. He begins with this section by saying, Hayotze lano midvarenu, shehashra'a shehi rak l'sha'a nir'eit kegufanit, term shenit galeh v'hi b'chinat garin. Says what we learn from what we've been teaching so far is that this revelation, this dwelling of the divine presence on us, which is only temporary, seems like it's a bodily experience. It just seems like you have some kind of bodily experience before it is fully revealed. And this is the aspect of a seed, right? That which is waiting to come forth. But this hashra'ah, this heavenly presence which is constant, is seen in its holiness. Okay, we don't really know what that means yet. We're going to have to continue along to see exactly what the point is that he's making. V'shetireh b'ish Yisrael b'kdushata, af b'davrim gufanim, tzaricha ish liot b'chinat, im ma'amid dvarim k'choma, b'echlet v'tamid. In order that a Jew, a person of Israel, will be seen in their holiness, even in corporeal matters, in their eating, in their drinking, in their sexuality, in their walking down the road, that they will manifest holiness at all these times. A person has to be this quality of this verse which he quotes previously. If you stand things like a wall, you have to have this wall-like quality, this strength, this sort of purpose and presence, certainly and always. V'reishita kol hi sheyeda ish Yisrael she'eni yachol liftor atzmo bi'asiya bavad she'aseh et ha-mitzvah. But the first thing, the first way he actually does this aspect of standing himself, this aspect of presence and security and strength to manifest holiness at all times, is that the Jew must know, the Israelite must know, that he is unable to fulfill his obligation simply in the performance of the mitzvah. It's not enough to just perform the mitzvah. Rather, he must perform and transform himself. This is quite a powerful statement. The mere performance of the mitzvah is not enough. The mitzvah has a purpose. And the purpose is self-creation and self-transformation. And to even fulfill the most basic purpose of the mitzvah, he argues here, one must go through this process of self-transformation and self-creation. There is no other way to really fulfill what the mitzvah is being called on to do. Ki mi shechoshev shedai lo ma sheyaseh et ha-mitzvah, because one who thinks that it's enough to just do a mitzvah, he doesn't have to choose all the time. He's not constantly in this state of sort of choosing holiness. Rather, whenever a mitzvah happens to come along, he's got an opportunity to do one. But if there's no mitzvah which happens to be before him at the moment, then everything is silenced within him. There isn't that constant passion and sort of moment of choice, moment of choosing the path of divinity. If he thinks he only has to make that kind of choice when a mitzvah happens to come about.
And
even when he's actually doing a mitzvah, right, it's actually doing some kind of commandment, some ritual, sometimes the way he does them, he's also not choosing it in the active way. For instance, mitzvah to which he is habituated, right? He's just like, oh, does a mitzvah, it's automatic. We say a blessing in an automatic way. there's no actual act of positive, constant choice. There's no actual act of mindfulness.
כמו שאמרו חזל, שצריכים להכיר טובה על הראש שקורא במודים בעצמו. It's like Chazal said, like the rabbi said, that we have to sort of acknowledge the goodness of the head which bows down by itself in modim, in that part of the Amidah. What are they talking about? וכיוון שחושב שרק לעשות אותם צריך ותו לא, אין שייך לבחור ולהניח תפילים וכו', כיוון שכבר עושה מעצמו. But because he thinks that he just has to do the thing and no more, then there is no aspect here of this choosing, of this mindfulness, for instance, in the putting on a tefillin. Because they're already done mindlessly. They're done by themselves.
Ma she'ein ken mi she'yodea she'apasuk omer v'yidgashtem v'yitem kedoshim, which is not the case of one who knows that the verse says, sanctify yourself and be holy.
Kmo she'ita b'midrash, Kohelet Shoa Torah Bishvil Yisrael, as it says in the Midrash Kohelet, the Midrash on Ecclesiastes, that Torah is for Israel.
That is, he's saying that there has to be an awareness of the purpose of mitzvot, which is this sanctification of the purpose, of you yourself becoming holy. And indeed, this is echoed in the notion that Torah is for Yisrael. That is, Torah does not have a purpose, it has a particular purpose, and that purpose is the sanctification and transformation of Yisrael, of those who practice it. It isn't just something sitting up there which we just do on automatic pilot.
וכמו שאיתה ברמב״ם, and just as Maimonides says, שתכלית התורה היא לבוא ל'ובו תדבקון.
Right? You're supposed to go to the state of cleaving to Him, cleaving to the divine. Torah is supposed to bring us to the state of divine cleaving.
וזה העיקר אצלו, לעשות את עצמו.
And this is the essence with Him, to make Himself, to transform Himself.
ואז, אף אם אין מצווה לפניו, אבל הוא בעצמו נמצא לפניו.
And so, even if there's no mitzvah before him at this moment, right? There's no actual commanded act before him at that moment, but he is always before himself. The person is constantly before himself. And so, if the essential nature of the mitzvah is self-creation and self-transformation, then there is no time which is free of mitzvah. The person who is available for self-transformation and self-creation is always present, is always there, waiting to be transformed, needing to be transformed.
ואם עצמו צריכו לעשות תמיד, ואין לו רגע שיהיה לו מנוחה מעבודת עצמו, ותמיד צריכו לבחור, והשם שורה בו תמיד, לא לשעה ובכוח לבד.
And so if with himself he needs to work, always, and if there is no moment, as we said, when he has rest from this self-work, from this self-transformation, then he always has to choose the path of God. He has to choose the divine over and over and over again. The divine is sort of presented, it's there, and he has to constantly choose it because he's constantly choosing a way to be in the world. And then God dwells upon him, and he dwells upon him always, constantly, not for a moment, and not only potential, but there's the actualized presence of divinity in him and on him. And he continues,
והרמז הוא, צבא רק באינה דעסיק בה מגינה ומצלה מן היצרה.
The hint is that a mitzvah, only at the moment when one is actually doing it, does it protect you and save you from the Yetzirah. Right? Mentioned this before. Only at the moment of doing the mitzvah does it actually protect you. That's why you can be doing a mitzvah, and then when you're not doing it, you can be vulnerable again to the Yetzirah.
V'Torah, bein be'ina da'asik, bein be'ina da'lo asik ba, v'chule.
But Torah, whether you're doing it at the moment or not, it continues to protect you. Why is that?
Ki kfar dibarnu shenikra kablat ha'Torah v'lo kablat ha'mitzvot. Av she'ikara Torah mle'a mitzvot u'perushan.
We've already said that we call it the receiving of the Torah at the Sinai, at Mount Sinai, not the receiving of the mitzvot. Even though the essence of Torah, and what it's full of, are mitzvot and their interpretation. So why don't we call it the receiving of the mitzvot, but receiving of this thing called Torah?
מפני שהמצוות מי שיודא אותם כבר אינו צריך לקבלן. וכשלמד את קיצור שולחן ערוך כבר יודע הוא איך לקמן.
The reason is that mitzvot, one who knows them, he doesn't need to receive them anymore. That is, there's a sort of, they're static in a way. They're the commands, you have to do what you have to do. Once you learn them, you know what you have to do. When he's read and learned the Kitzur, the shortened Shulchan Aruch, a summary of Jewish laws, he already knows how to keep them. So he knows, oh, this is the mitzvah, this is what I have to do, I have to say this blessing, I have to do this act. he knows what to do, right? It isn't, again, this constant process of openness and change. There's a kind of staticness to it. There's a sense in which he knows, oh, I know what to do. This is what I have to do at this point. This is my action. Ma she'en ken b'teiva Torah, which is not the case with this word Torah. Haremez hu kamo she'ita b'zohar kodesh, she'shma Torah she'moreh et derech Hashem. The hint is, as it says in the Holy Zohar, that its name, this word is called Torah, right? Torah, which comes from this word morah, to teach. Moreh et derech Hashem. It teaches the way of God. There's this teaching which happens in Torah, which is not just the mitzvot. There's some kind of broader teaching of the path of divinity. Umisha yodea she'et atzmo tzirichu la'asor v'likadesh, az yodea she'tamid tzirichu l'moreh derech, v'tamid hu mekabel et Torah. And one who knows that it is himself who he needs to create or do and to sanctify. He knows that he always needs a guide. He always needs a moreh derech. He always needs a guide. And so he is constantly receiving the Torah. It's very interesting. This idea here is that Torah is a constant process of reception, of receiving of teachings, of the path, of the way, which is different, he says, from mitzvot. Mitzvot, we can relate to them as a kind of, we're given them, we know what to do, we do them. It's over, it's done. It's not this constant process of introspection and mindfulness and searching for what the answer is in this moment, rather than the answer, which is a kind of static answer for all moments. L'chen mitzvah, mi shekol oskoba, hi rak l'kayem et hamitzvah, rak b'ina da'asik ba megino matzli, miyetzara. So, in the case of a mitzvah, one who all his work in this mitzvah is only to do it, then only at the moment when he's doing it is he protected and saved from the Yetzirah. Ki rak l'sha'ah, u'b'sha'ah she'enu megalat k'dushah, hi etzlo rak b'koch v'gufaniut. Because it's only for a moment, and at any moment when he's not revealing this holiness, then the holiness with him is only in potential and in this sort of corporeal state, which is a not fully revealed state. V'torah, mi shemevakesh moreh haderech, ki rotzehu l'taken et atzmo, v'tamid gam b'sha'ah she'en mitzvah lefanav, oved im atzmo u'bocher, im chomahu. One who requests this guide, this Torah, understands the Torah as a guide, because he wants to heal himself, to transform himself, then always, even at a time when there is no particular mitzvah before him, no particular commandment before him, he is working on his spiritual path. He is worshiping God. He is working with himself, and he is choosing. He's making this constant process of choice, of sort of freedom, of transformation. And this is the aspect of im chomahu. This is this kind of steadfastness, which is interesting. It's not a steadfastness which is static. It's not a wall which is sort of unchangeable. It's precisely in the impermanence, the change, the transformation, which comes the stability which is only possible through groundlessness, not through found ground and finding something stable, but be willing to let go into constant mindfulness and transformation, into the natural instability of life. Az gam ina de lo asit ba matzli ki gam az ein etzlo bekoach rak b'foal. Then, even at a time when he is not doing Torah at that moment, or not doing a mitzvah at that moment, it still saves him. It still protects him. Because it is not only in potential, rather it is actualized in him. The holiness is actualized in him at that moment. And everything is holy with him, including his embodiedness, including his corporeality. So this aspect of constant presence is actually what transforms or makes possible the sacred nature of the body, the sacred nature of embodied acts. They can lead us astray. They can be something other than holiness. But with presence, with genuine presence and the constant choosing of divinity, even our embodied nature in all its different ways becomes holy, becomes sanctified. So he continues a paragraph later. Hayotzei lanu midvareinu, what we learn then from what we said, im chomahi, az ahashra'at yidit, v'hi ahashra'at kedusha. If he has this kind of wall category, which is this sense of constant presence and actually willingness to choose over and over again, to choose the path of holiness, then he has this constant dwelling of divinity upon him. And this is the dwelling of holiness. V'im hu mitrofef chas v'shalom, az ha'shara'a rak l'sha'a v'hi ha'shara'a shal koch levad, k'mo kol divrei olam shehu behester. But if he's wishy-washy, right, if he doesn't have this wallness of constant presence, then he only gets temporary inspiration. And this is inspiration which is only in potential, rather than actually actualized. And this is like all the things of the world which are in hiddenness, right? The things of the world which are essentially actually holy in nature and divine, and yet are hidden away, are not fully realized and actualized, and therefore not seen in their divinity. Vayihi miketz. And this is our parsha, Vayihi miketz, and it came to the end of. Uva midrash lefereshet ha-lashon miketz. And the midrash came to explain this language of miketz. At the end, ketz, sam lechoshech. They said, he put an end, the divine God put an end, a stop to the darkness. Mao ha-choshech ha-yetzara. Shekozman sheyetzara bolam ofel v'tzal mavet v'chulei. Nekar v'yetzara ha-yetzara v'chulei. So what does the midrash say? It says, what is this darkness? This is the evil inclination. Because when evil inclination is in the world, there is darkness and blackness and darkness unto death. And when it is uprooted from the world, there is light. But the Bezesner adds something here. He says, what this really means is that, where does this darkness come from? The Yetzirah. Why is the Yetzirah the Ketz in the darkness? And what is the end to the darkness? Or how, in this sense, does the end become darkness? The Yetzirah comes from this notion of end, from this notion of time. That is, from this notion of not being constantly present, of putting an end to our presence, of turning away, of becoming lost. Ha'ashra'a shehit midit behit kalut kdushahi ve'ein choshech v'lo yetzara. Constant inspiration, revelation, is the revelation of holiness. And there's no darkness and there's no yetzara. There's no evil inclination. Achahashra'a shehi bizman v'keit she'az bizman hazeh keitzo k'sheyaseh min atit levana u'beit ha'midrash b'intayim shura choshech makom ha'panui v'yetzara. But when it's only a time-bound inspiration, when there's an end to it, when the time is its end, is its border, then it's only sometimes present. And when he makes the clay into bricks for the study hall, when sort of awareness is not present there, then at the moment, darkness dwells in that place. And there's a place which is open, which is available for the Yetzirah. And he continues, "V'zeinyan kavta zakukla." And this is the matter of, in the Gemara in Shabbat, when discussing Chanukah, this matter of, if it goes out, one requires it. Or that is, a certain halachic position that if the Chanukah candles go out, one is supposed to care for them. One is supposed to relight them. One is supposed to fix whatever the problem is.
Haminorah b'mikdash pa'ala l'kadesh v'la'ir et levavot Yisrael, v'chena ner Chanukah k'noda. The menorah, the lamp in the mikdash, right in the temple, acted. Its purpose was to sanctify and illuminate the hearts of Israel. And so too is true of the candle, the light of Chanukah, as is known. Right, it comes to illuminate and sanctify our hearts. That's our intention before the Chanukah candles. L'chen amar Rav Huna kavta zakukla. So therefore Rav Huna said, in Masechet Shabbat, if it goes out, one is required to care for it. Lo shetia ha'ara rak l'sha'a, rak kol hazman yir. So that there will not just be a temporary enlightenment, a temporary illumination, rather that it will enlighten, it will illuminate constantly. V'im kavta yitkana v'yadli kena shuv. And if it goes out, you should fix it and light it once again. V'rav omer lo dai bazeh levad, rach tichim lasot shelo tichabeh.
But Rav said, no, this isn't enough. We have to do something more. One rather has to make sure, by using the proper kinds of wicks and oils, that the candle doesn't go out in the first place. Kolomer anu mindabrim beremas haner Chanukah v'nodasher dinim shamru chazal b'pshat haTorah himipnei sheru kach beremas v'sod ha'inyan. That is, we're speaking here about the hints, the sort of deeper meanings of the candle of Chanukah, the light of Chanukah. And it's noted that the judgments which Chazal, which the rabbi said, the decisions they made about the halakha, about the law, in the pshat of the Torah, in the simple meaning of the Torah, is because they saw in this a deeper message and hint, a mystery to the matter. Right? The deepest layer of Torah, of Sod. V'lefi matzavenu ba'avodah, amar Rav, asor lehishtamesh la'orah. And according to our status, our condition, according to our current sort of existential state, what we can understand about it, is that Rav said, one is forbidden to use the light of the Chanukah candles. Right? Are still our the halacha for today. Because as it said above, the essence of this tikkun, of this transformation, is that the light will not just be a temporary aspect, like all corporeal things, something which arises and passes away. Rather, that a person should know that the action itself is not sufficient, for instance, lighting the hand of Chanukah candles. Rather, he has to make and sanctify himself. That is the essence. V'isor lishtamesh b'ner Chanukah, tashmish shel chol, rak kol makom she'or Chanukah magia yahfoch latashmish dekedusha. And so it is forbidden to use the Chanukah candles for a mundane, a profane purpose. Rather, every place where the light of the Chanukah candles reaches is transformed into a holy object, a holy moment, a holy place. Ukshiafech at atzmo v'tashmishav l'kedusha lo yichabe or kedusha haba miner Chanukah. And when he transforms himself and all his acts, his doings, to sanctity, to holiness, then this light of holiness, this light of the Chanukah candles, will not be extinguished. That is, we don't use the light of the Chanukah candles because it indicates that it is not a sort of light or matter of this world, something which arises and passes, which is there and then is gone. Rather, there is something much deeper in the lights of the Chanukah candles. It indicates the possibility of a constant presence and illumination, a constant opening and enlivening and illumination, which can be with us always, which can bring that light and holiness which you described above to the hearts of Israel, to our own hearts. That even in times of darkness, we can recall the essential purpose of our practice, which is our own self-creation and self-transformation, and so the creation and transformation of the world. And we can touch once again that eternal, internal light, which always burns within us.
Thank you, Rabbi. And thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.